Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and this is the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We do count it a great privilege to be able to come this way each and every week with the glorious message of liberty. We've said this many, many times. Liberty is not an American idea. It's God's idea. God is the author of liberty. We sing a song about that, and it's even in our church hymnal, our red church hymnal, that the Lord is the author of liberty. Well, we appreciate you listening in today. I'm thankful for the message of liberty and that we can come this way. We do appreciate that. I want to make a quick church announcement before we get started today, and that is concerning our church, Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and we are hosting Bible school next week. Vacation Bible School will be June the 8th through the 12th. That's going to start next Sunday night, June the 8th through the 12th. That's a Sunday night through a Thursday night, and then commencement for the Vacation Bible School will be on Friday night the 13th. Classes begin every night at 6:30, and there will be a light meal before that starts, before Vacation Bible School. We started doing that a few years ago. It seemed to really help the moms out, so they didn't have to rush in and get something to eat for the kids and worry about it. They can just bring them on to church, and we have a meal. Then we start Bible school at 6:30. If you'd like to have more information concerning our Vacation Bible School, just give us a call, 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. We will give that information again at the end of the radio broadcast. I want to say hello to Noah. He's in here today. Noah, you having a good day so far?
I am. It's good to be here this morning. And we do want to say welcome to all our listeners. We do appreciate our listeners, those who listen in every Tuesday right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in on Saturdays on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. And those who listen in on KPGT 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate our listeners, and we say that a lot, appreciate. That word appreciate means to value. And I looked that up a few years ago because we say that all the time at church. We say, "I appreciate you. I appreciate you." That means I value you, and we do value our listeners. So it's good to be here. We're going to continue our study on the Bill of Rights. This is something we've been, I guess, this whole year. If I were to look back in my notes, I think it was sometime in January that we started in the Constitution. And then we led into the Bill of Rights. And when we think about our country and we think about the liberty that we have, on one hand, we have the Constitution. And with it, certain powers were granted to expand and grow the federal government. We went over that and took several weeks to do that. And all this was to take place, this expansion and control of the United States of America, was to take place within a framework of checks and balances. Most people probably know that our government has three branches. We have an executive, that's the president, a legislative, that's the Congress, that's the senators, the House of Representatives, and then the Senate, that's the legislative branch. They make the laws of the land. They hold the purse or the power of the purse, which means they are responsible for paying the bills. And then we have the judicial branch, and that is from the Supreme Court all the way down. I have quickly mentioned this before, but do you know this is based on a biblical pattern? We have this exact pattern laid out for us in the Bible, the Word of God, Isaiah chapter 33 and verse number 22. Now, this is not by accident. This is not something that somebody went back and found and said, "Oh, what a coincidence." But we have the example for a three headed, I guess would be a good way to put it, a three-branch government in the Bible, in the Word of God. Isaiah 33, verse number 22, the Bible says, "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us." And how interesting that is. It says, "For the Lord is our judge." That's the judicial branch. "The Lord is our lawgiver." That is our legislative branch. That's what the legislature does. They legislate. That's why they're called sometimes lawmakers, congressmen, senators, lawmakers. That's the legislative. And then it says, "The Lord is our king." The king carries out the power. He executes. And so we think about the executive branch of government. So isn't that interesting? "For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us." And what you have is a unity in Trinity. Some people say, "Well, I cannot understand the Trinity." Do you know there's a unity in that? The Lord is. The Lord is. The Lord is. He's all these things. And so there's a unity there. And, oh, there's a lot of good lessons we could bring out along those lines. I heard a speaker one time, and he said something along these lines. He said, and this is not an exact quote, it was on a CD, and I didn't go back and find it. I really couldn't remember where I heard it, but I thought a lot about it. He said, "If you were given the responsibility of coming up with a form of government that would keep one group of sinners from taking over and controlling another group of sinners, you would come up with something very near the Constitution of the United States of America." That is what the Constitution is designed to do. It's designed to keep one group of sinners, fallen men, fallen women, from overtaking and overruling another group of people. So we have this three-headed government inside or incorporated into the United States government. We have the Constitution. You see, our founding fathers, they understood human nature from a biblical standpoint. They realized men were corrupt. They realized men were sinful. And given the opportunity, they would become tyrants. They had seen this in history. They knew their history. They knew the history of the Roman republics, the Greek country. They knew the history of Europe, and they knew that history repeats itself. And they knew human nature from a biblical standpoint. Now, what does the Bible say? We're all good and going to do the very best? No, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible says, "All our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God." The Bible says, "There's none that doeth good, no, not one." And so in man is this potential for great, great evil. And the Constitution is designed to restrict man and to not give too much power to one branch of government, not to give too much power to the president or too much power to the legislature. The legislature can come up with a law, but the president can veto that law. They can even, one branch of the government can sue another branch of the government. It is designed as a system of checks and balances. And our founding fathers realized that the potential of man, if he was not restrained, he is capable of doing anything. I want to read from the writings of Thomas Jefferson along these lines. He said, "It would be a dangerous delusion were a confidence in the men of our choice to silence our fears for the safety of our rights. That confidence is everywhere the parent of despotism." Meaning, if we just say, "Oh, we trust them," then what happens is a form of tyranny comes. He said, "Free government is founded in jealousy and not in confidence. It is jealousy and not confidence which prescribes limited constitutions to bind down those whom we are obliged to trust with power, that our Constitution has accordingly fixed the limits to which and no farther our confidence may go. In questions of power, then, let no more be said of confidence in man, but bind him down from mischief by the chains of the Constitution. And so Thomas Jefferson realized the great potential for man, that he must be constrained, that it is jealousy which keeps us free. The executive is jealous of the legislature, still in its power. The legislature is jealous of the judicial, and so they keep a check on each other. This fallen nature is actually pitted one against another in our Constitution. And so many of our leaders, they believed and even said that the Constitution, the wisdom behind it, definitely came from the Lord. George Washington said this about government. He said, "Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master." He knew that you better keep your eyes on the power that the government collected to itself. James Madison, also along those lines, he said, "It may be a reflection on human nature that such devices," and he's talking here about the response to the Constitution binding men down, "that such devices should be necessary to control the abuses of government." We have to have a Constitution in place to keep the government in check, is what he's saying. But what is government itself but the greatest of all reflections on human nature? And listen what he said: "If angels were to govern men, neither external nor internal controls on government would be necessary." They knew that it was not angels that we were dealing with. He said, "But lacking these, in framing a government which is to be administered by men over men, the great difficulty lies in this. You must first enable the government to control the governed, and in the next place, oblige it to control itself." And so we have that in the Constitution of the United States and in the Bill of Rights. You must first enable the government to control the governed, so they have to have power. He said, and in the next place, oblige it to control itself. And so we're thinking about the Constitution. We're thinking about the Bill of Rights. Our founding fathers realized that man had a corrupt nature and he had to be kept in check. So the Constitution is restrictive. It is designed that way. Now, when our leaders now, when they say, for example, President Obama a while back, he made the statement, he couldn't get anything done in Congress, but he had a telephone and a pen. And so he's just going to go ahead and do things. And he does that. He has continued to do that, just leaving Congress as a, you know, what are they even there for? He's taking it unto himself. There's a lot of things in the news right now about the release of the Gitmo prisoners in exchange for one of our soldiers, who the news media right now is saying that basically he just deserted his post and left. Well, anyway, that's a big controversy going on with that. But he has complained many times, well, he can't get anything done. Or even congressmen will say, we can't get anything done. You know, that's a good thing. It is designed, the whole system is designed to move very slowly, that there would be argument back and forth, that there would be checks and balances along the way. It is designed to move slowly, not very quickly. And so when I see them wanting to go around Congress or go around one another, that is not a good thing. Our system is designed to have a system of checks and balances. All these things takes time. So on the one hand, we have the Constitution. It's a restrictive document. On the other hand, talking about the Bill of Rights, the preamble to the Bill of Rights says this, that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added. So our founding forefathers, some of them, they read the Constitution. They said, well, that's pretty good, but you know, it needs to go further. It's not restrictive enough. And so before they would ratify the Constitution, they wanted to ensure that there was what we call a Bill of Rights. And we call that the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments. And I say all that to say this, our American system of government is not based upon trust. And it is very dangerous in America when we live in a day and a time where people have the attitude, well, we just trust them to do the right thing. We're just hoping that they'll look out for our best interest when they go up there to Washington. You know, we're just trusting they'll do the right thing. That is not how our government is designed, even, to just trust them, to just send them off with the checkbook, to just send them off with a, okay, fellas, go and do right by us. No, sir. That is not the way our system is designed. That is why the ultimate power is invested in we the people. That's how the Constitution begins. We the people of the United States of America. And so the Bill of Rights, that's what we're studying. We've looked at the First Amendment. The First Amendment deals with freedom of religion, to say and do. To say and do. We're seeing more and more there's pressure that churches, Christians, pastors would be restricted in their saying and their doing. There's no laws. I guess we could see there's some laws that are heading in that direction, but there is great pressure not to say anything about certain things, certain sins that go on in our society that once upon a time was outright sin. And now in our day and time, there's great pressure placed upon people not to say certain things, not to say anything about the sin of homosexuality. That was in the news today. Not to say anything about government. You know, the first thing you'll hear, oh, you shouldn't mix politics and religion. Well, if the Bible speaks upon it, God's people have a right to say something about it. And you know what? The Bible has a lot to say about a lot of things. So freedom of religion, to say and to do, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom to peaceably assemble. These things we find in the First Amendment, the Second Amendment we've been looking at. And this is where we left off, the Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. I have been reading and studying, trying to keep up a little bit with what is going on in Mexico with the drug cartels. And there are towns in Mexico that have raised up citizen militias. Now they're not supposed to do this. This is against the law, because they're a country that does not have the freedom of bearing arms like we do. The common citizen is not supposed to be armed, but they are taking matters into their own hands, because what they find is the drug cartel and the police are in cahoots with one another. And so they are arming themselves and having success in securing, when the drug cartels and the corrupt police find out that the people are armed, well, they go on somewhere else. So it's interesting. We see that these things work in other countries, but we don't want to ensure the security of a free state in our country. This is under attack. Well, the Third Amendment, we could spend a lot of time talking about the second. The Third Amendment says no soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. And so this is talking about soldiers coming into your home against your will and basically setting up camp there. The Fourth Amendment says the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particular describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Now, you have to remember that the Bill of Rights were instituted by a people who knew what it was to be persecuted because of their religion. Many of the people that fought in the American Revolutionary War had been persecuted because of their religious beliefs. Many of them had had land confiscated. They had had fines put upon them because they refused to pay a tax to a state church. They didn't want to pay taxes to state church. They were Baptists. Why would they want to pay a tax to build an Anglican church? You can find many examples of things like this. In American history, many preachers had been put in prison for preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of them had been beaten. They had been persecuted because of their religion. Many of them knew what it was to be disarmed. In fact, the shot heard round the world was heard round the world because the British were coming to disarm the citizenry. And so the militia came to their defense. They knew that if they were disarmed, they would be helpless. And so the first battle of the American Revolutionary War was fought over citizen disarmament. They knew what it was to be disarmed. They knew they would be rendered helpless. They knew what it was to have British soldiers to come into their homes and commandeer their land. And you got to remember, at the time, they were not American citizens. They were British citizens living in the American colonies. And under English common law, it had been understood for many, many years, probably centuries, that a Englishman's home was his castle. But what they found out in America was that they didn't even have the common laws protected that their other English citizens had while they were living in England. So they had this going on. They knew what it was for the British to come in, kick them out of their house, set them out, eat their food, eat their chickens, eat their hogs, and eat their garden up. And basically, they were just out of luck. They knew what it was to be stopped and searched and have their land seized and all of these things. So this is fresh on the minds of these people, and they realize how bad this tyranny was. So they put safeguards in place to keep it from happening again. So they began with a Declaration of Independence. The Declaration of Independence asserts certain inalienable rights given to us by God Himself. Inalienable means this, that these rights cannot even be taken away by the government. These are given by God, not by government. And so they begin with a declaration of their God-given rights. Then we have the Constitution, which restricts government. Yes, it gives government permission, but only with certain restrictions. And then after that, we have the Bill of Rights. So our government is not based upon trusting them to do the right thing. Our government is based upon jealousy. We must jealously guard our rights. If we do not do this, we will lose our rights. I do believe there are more and more people that are waking up to this. I just hope it's not too little too late. We're living in a day and a time where once again our rights are being trampled upon. Our basic God-given rights are being attacked. They are being set aside. Our government is listening to our phone calls, recording, keeping track of all your phone calls that you make. That ought to disturb us. I know how people are. They've got this mindset, oh, I'm not doing anything wrong. Do you know in some places people are getting in trouble for collecting rainwater? In some places, people are getting in trouble for doing such things as growing a garden in their yard. There's all kinds of examples that we could get. Our government is reading our text messages, reading your email, keeping a stash of these things or a collection of all of your communication. Our government is following us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all of these things. I know of a personal example of an individual that was having trouble, was having having to deal directly, I'll put it like this, with an IRS agent. That IRS agent had been on the internet on a real estate site and had been looking inside the person's house at their furniture and their possessions. And then that was brought up to the individual when they had the meeting with the IRS. That's disturbing. And it was used as a leverage, such as, hey, I know what's in your house. I know what you have. I know, where did you get this? How did you obtain this? You know, they're spying up on us. That ought to disturb us. People are regularly stopped, searched, questioned, their cell phone looked at, things of this, while they're traveling. I used to love to fly. I hate to fly. I hate to go through the rigmarole, the TSA, and all that kind of stuff. But all of this is being done under the banner of safety. Well, it's to keep the terrorists at bay. It's to keep you safe from terrorism and all of these things. We're living in a day and time. This is happening all across our country. Local police departments and sheriff departments are looking more and more like military units being outfitted right here in Boone, North Carolina. I don't know what is running around Boone, but I seen it the other day, big old black military armored vehicle looking thing. What is necessary to be outfitted like an army unit if their responsibility is to protect and to serve? And we want them to be safe, and we realize there's crazy people out there. But when this is happening all across America, and our federal government is arming our police departments, arming our sheriff's departments, why is this going on? In the past 2 years, the Department of Homeland Security has purchased almost 2 billion rounds of ammunition. One estimate was that is enough ammunition to wage war for 30 years. Why collect so much ammunition? March 9th, 2014, here's a headline. TSA purchases 1,980 sticks of dynamite to go with their 3.5 million rounds of ammunition. Now, I know some of those little locks on the luggage are hard to get into, but I don't see why the TSA needs 1,980 sticks of dynamite, let alone 3.5 million rounds of ammunition. The IRS is in the guns and ammo business. You can search all these things on the internet, find government contracts to buy shotguns, ammunition, body armor, armored vehicles, all of these things. I know how people are. Oh, you're paranoid. Well, what are they? I haven't bought 2.5 million rounds of ammunition in the past couple of years. Who's in the, what are they planning? Why? See, it is the responsibility of we the people to look at our government and say, what's going on? What are you doing with our money? What are you doing with our tax money? Why are you spending this? What are you doing here? And to make sure that they follow the Constitution, which they swear to uphold and defend. Well, we are a people that are guided more by emotion than logic many times. That's to our detriment. But the Bible says this, Ecclesiastes 2:14, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. Well, to look at things as they really are, and it's not a sin to ask why, what is going on, what is happening in our country. Well, our only hope, Isaiah 33:22, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. He will save us. May God have mercy upon our country. I hope you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. If not, you need to. Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Well, I hope you have a great day. Thank you for listening in, and God bless you.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.
NCN News, I'm Mike Rayleigh. Governor Pat